All right. Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be here. Good to be back. Thank you all for coming out here today. This is an exciting time. If you don't know what our Connection Nights are all about, Connection Night is really a time, usually, tonight might be a bit of an exception, but usually it's a time where I really want to hear from many people in terms of what God has been doing, what God's been doing in our midst. If you were at our last one, we had testimonies, how God's been using people in evangelism and all these kinds of things. And so that is really the goal. We want to actually reflect on who God is and what he's been doing here among us. Now, this evening, as I think probably all of you are aware, we have a bit of a different topic that we're going to be talking about as we are looking at what these next steps look like when it comes to autonomy. All right. So I think probably most of you are aware that that's really what we're going to talk about tonight. And so the majority of tonight is really going to be, unfortunately enough, kind of me talking. It's not really my goal for these nights, but I want to be able to share well in terms of, hey, why are we doing this? What is this next step actually looking like? And answer some of your questions. All right. So I actually want to start off, though, by apologizing. And that is apologizing for how most of you or many of you found out about this. All right. So, this was sort of, you know, unceremoniously dropped into an elders update at one point, and many people kind of said, what is happening? That was not our intentional way of communicating, all right? So I do apologize. I chatted with Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt had actually included that into the elders updates because he assumed we had already had this meeting. That it was already sort of wider known. And so, you know, Pastor Matt has dropped it into a couple different things, sermons, podcasts, whatever else. That was not the way we intended to announce this. So please accept my apologies. That was never the intention. Actually, the whole goal was to begin to talk about it a little bit, but really having today as this beginning discussion. That was always the intention. This is really the beginning of our discussion looking forward. All right. So, not exactly the way we intended to begin this communication. But let's take some time here tonight then, all right? It's a fairly large topic in terms of, you know, where has this conversation come from? How did we arrive here? What is the reason behind it? Why would we even consider this? What's our timeline looking like? And many questions that I have gotten from you. So many of you have emailed me questions, and I have compiled them as best I can to try and answer a lot of the different questions, categories that have been asked about this move. So there's a decent amount of stuff to kind of talk through here tonight. But really, I want to end by spending time in prayer. All right. That's where I want to go. I want to end by spending time in prayer together over this. This is not something we want to do of our own volition or our own idea that pops into our head. We want to follow God. All right. And so the end of our evening, I want to spend time in prayer here talking about this. All right. So we have to be done by 7, so I better get going here. All right. Let me start by just telling you a little bit of the history. All right. Where did this whole discussion come from? And many of you have told me you're a little bit confused by it, right? Particularly those of you who were with us when we started Promontory, right? A little bit confused as to where did this come from. When we first started here, that wasn't really part of the conversation, right? The conversation wasn't, we're planting a new church, so where did this come from? And if that's what you had expected, you are correct. That wasn't where we started. We did actually simply start with saying, hey, this is a campus, and that was pretty much it. All right. We didn't start with this goal explicitly in mind. Central's vision has always been, we want to see the Eastern Fraser Valley reached for the gospel, transformed by the gospel for the good of all people and the glory of God. Right. That is the vision for Central. That's what we want to see happen. But what that statement doesn't really include is the question, how? How are we going to do that? How are we going to actually make that happen? And so as we, or I say we, I wasn't here at the time, but as Central sort of said, yes, this is where God's calling us to, the answer to the how has become, well, campuses. And in many ways, Central sort of backed into having a number of campuses. Actually, what some of you are aware of, not one time did Central say, it's our goal to go and plant a campus. Actually, all of them sort of fell into our lap. So when Agassiz was the first campus a little over 10 years ago, it was a church that had actually approached Central and said, hey, would you take us on as a satellite campus? We're having some issues. We're trying to do this. In sort of seeing, oh, okay, our vision is we want to see the gospel go forward. Maybe this is a way in which this can happen. And for those of you who maybe even were aware of the Agassiz campus many years ago, you might know it started very differently than what it looks like today. All right, when the Agassiz campus first started, it was a carbon copy. Essentially, what they did is they said, all right, we're going to bring teams from Chilliwack. Worship teams are going to come in. They're going to play. There's going to be a video screen behind you. There's going to be preaching on that. Essentially, everything they did in Chilliwack, they did in Agassiz. They just replicated, right? Carbon copy one to another. And in one sense, that gave a lot of stability, but very quickly realized, well, that's not a great long-term strategy, right? It's a different community. It's a different group of people. And if we're not saying, hey, we actually want to reach these people, we might actually have to change. And so even by the time that Promontory came about, that idea was already well established. We need to see sort of what we call contextualization, all right? We want to see these campuses actually reflect the communities that they're in. The people that are there are significant for what we are trying to do, all right? And so Promontory, we very much started with this. We're taking that central DNA and we're wanting to see it contextualized into this location. And so as we continue down this road more and more, our campuses now look very distinct one from another. Right? If you go down to Chilliwack, you'll notice it looks different than what we do here. We actually have different orders of service. We're involved in different ministries. We do ministry differently. Right? Go to Agassiz, go to Harrison, go to Lake Arrock. They're all very distinct one from another. We think that's actually a good thing, right? We actually care about reaching into communities and caring about the people who are here. That matters, right? You matter to this place. We don't exist outside of you. And so we began to ask the question, well, where is this then going? Right? If we're not just trying to say, okay, we want to do whatever the central Chilliwack campus does, we're just going to replicate it everywhere. Where are we going with these? Right? With these communities where we say, hey, we want to see the gospel take root and we want it to be shaped to actually see who God is bringing. Actually, we said, okay, where are we going? And the answer more and more became, well, we're actually planting churches. Right? That's the end result of kind of what we've been doing, right? And so for those of you who are saying, oh man, that's a big change in how we're talking, it is. We haven't used that language before. Not because our mission or vision is changing. Actually, those are absolutely still there, right? Our mission, we want to see people come to know Jesus, disciples who make disciples, right? Vision, see the Eastern Fraser Valley transformed. It's really just that question of how. More and more we've realized, well, we've been church planting. In a sense, that's what our campus ministry has been doing. We sort of almost backed into this. I think by God's grace, he gave us direction through this. But essentially, that's what we've been doing with a lot of stability in that process. Right? Our campus model has given us a ton of stability to be able to say, hey, we can launch out these campuses in new areas because we have that stability. Praise God, that's been a good thing. But as we've been realizing, okay, we're seeing more and more of this contextualization as the gospel's taking root. We're seeing this end result is becoming more and more. We're planting churches. The question then became, well, then how do we actually assess this? How do we know when it's time? All right? And so probably about two and a half years ago, maybe some of the elders can correct that, but we started talking about what we call metrics for ministry. How do we evaluate the health of a campus, right? What would be indicators that say, actually, yeah, things are going well or things are not going well, right? How do we actually deal with that? And so actually, we've been developing that over a while. Elders have been talking about that. Staff has been talking about it. We've been starting to use that more and more to see how we're doing. Last March, Pastor Matt actually introduced this at our AGM. I know three of you were there, but he did, all right? And Pastor Matt actually said, hey, this is how we're evaluating the health of a campus to see whether or not it would be an autonomous church. So in one sense, actually, our discussion started back there. The truth is, it just wasn't widely known, right? Last time we did our connection night, we actually walked through these different metrics and said, hey, how are we doing? And the honest answer is, we're doing pretty well, right? Numbers don't mean everything. Budget doesn't mean everything. But we're also seeing people come to know Jesus. We're seeing people baptized. We're seeing lives transformed, marriages turn around. I mean, there are incredible things that have been happening here, right? I love our women's ministry that started doing awesome things. Praise God to see those going forward, right? We have an amazing relationship with this school. Thank you, Esther, wherever you are, doing amazing work. There she is, right? Esther's been doing amazing work to help us reach out into our community. And actually, I'm really excited. This is next week's announcement, but next week's announcement, we're talking about Backpacks of Hope. If you can believe it, it's Christmas. Anyways, I'm not ready for that, but it's Christmas soon, and so we're starting Backpacks of Hope. And actually, this year, we're going to expand who we're going to look to support. We've always helped families in this school, and actually this year, we're going, great, we can do that and grow. And so we're going to talk with Vetter about how we can actually support families down at Vetter and how we can continue this. Praise God. Right? There are some real amazing signs of growth and health. The reason we are even having this conversation now is because things have been going well. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. It is incredible to see. So now, let me ask the question then, what are we actually talking about? All right? What is this next step? Because again, I've heard a number of different ideas about what this is, some of which are true and some of which are not. So let me be a little more transparent. Right now, we are looking at launching next September, so 10-ish months from now, as an autonomous church. Now, let me be clear. There is nothing sacred about that date. Right? That is not the date that we have to hit no matter what. In fact, as we continue down this road, if we come to a point where we're saying, hey, this doesn't make sense right now, great, we can stop, right? That's not out of the picture. I think this is a reasonable goal. And actually, the reason that we want to put that out there is because, I mean, you never hit a target you don't have. Right? We never are going to make it to a goal unless we actually have one. And so we're looking at next September. It's a reasonable date for us to be taking this on. All right? The elders have spent the last couple months actually discussing this more intentionally about what this would look like, actually working together a bit of a timeline over the next year. How would this roll out? And so even this meeting is part of that timeline. All right, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at, okay, what does it look like for us to be an autonomous church? We're putting together a budget that would actually start next January as if we are on our own so that we actually can look at, hey, what is this going to look like practically? Probably in the springtime is where we're going to start putting together all these, you know, all the fun stuff like society documents and bylaws and charitable status, you know, all that fun stuff. But part of that actually coming up is also going to be, this is maybe more interesting, looking for a secondary ministry location, right? Many of you know it's hard sometimes for us to be here in the middle of the week. We have to, you know, go around certain school restrictions. And so one of the things what we're really praying for is that actually we would have a location somewhere. Again, we don't have something in mind at this moment, but man, I am praying that we actually have a public presence in our community in some way that we can actually, you know, be able to have people just walk in off the street and we can be able to reach out. I'd love there to be even some, well, I mean, this is very practical, but storage would be nice, right? Actually, again, I'm just talking now. But we actually are looking at putting down a container here at the school, which would serve for all our storage and, Lord willing, get rid of that trailer. All right. So praise God. Pray for that. All right. Okay. But another physical location would actually be part of this. And most of all, what I really want is ministry space. so that we actually can have a presence throughout the week, whether that's for men's or women's or youth or, you know, life group, whatever, having a place that we can actually come and do ministry in is a significant step in this. And so in the next year, that's part of what we're going to be looking to do, is take that on. All right. As it comes to sort of the end of spring, probably after Easter, is when we would start looking at staff decisions. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But looking to hire people for this. And then do the transition over the summer as we slowly start to take on more and more responsibility to launch in September. So right now, that's our general timeline. That's when we're kind of looking at putting these things into practice. And now here's where I have to address very clearly what this is not. This is not a church split. Okay? I've heard this phrased in a couple different ways. We are not splitting off. We are not, you know, saying, oh, okay, we're done with them, right? Church splits unfortunately happen when people can't get along, when, you know, there's been, you know, to quote Taylor Swift, some bad blood, right? And there's, you can't, I don't know it. I know it's a title. That's as far as I got. All right. Shake it off. There you go. All right. But a church split is when you're saying, okay, we can't get along. We can't do ministry. That's not what this is. That's not what we're doing. And in fact, actually, that's part of what makes this almost emotionally more difficult, right? If this was a church split and we could just say, yeah, they're the enemy, they're awful, and we're the good guys, it'd be very simple. But that's not true. Actually, I praise God for Central. It's the only reason we're here, right? Let's not speak badly about it. But here's the advantage of that. That means we don't have to have no relationship going forward. This doesn't mean that we can't continue to be friends with Central and even partner together and do things together. Why couldn't we? So often we have this idea around church. Well, this is our church. It's our territory. You stay away. You do. It's fine. You know, we're not against you, but go over there. That's not how churches are intended to function. Why can't we partner together? Right? There's some really easy ways, obvious ways that I would see. So, I mean, Freedom Session, right? We already partner with another church for Freedom Session. Why can't we be involved in that? Why can't we partner together in that? How about something like internship? Right? Why can't we partner for something like that? There's no barrier that would say, you know, we have to get away from them, right? Maybe even occasionally the worship night or theology night, if it works together to say, hey, let's join churches and actually do this together. We're not leaving on bad terms, and that's a good thing, right? This is not a church split where we're saying, well, okay, they're the enemy now. They're not, right? They're our sister church in Christ. I praise God. At no point in this, are we saying, guess what? We have to stop talking about Central. No, I praise God that they are there. They're the only reason we're here. We're not losing that history in this step, right? We're actually celebrating their faithfulness. Okay? So now here's the next question. And that is the question of why? Okay? Things are going so well. Why? Why are we taking this step? It's a fair question. I'm glad you asked. Many people have. Okay? So I'd like to answer this question here in two ways. All right? I want to answer this from Scripture, and I want to answer this from a practical perspective. Okay? Let's start with Scripture. What is, as we're doing this, we're saying, okay, we want to become a church. And so the question is, then what is a church? Scripturally, biblically, what is a church? Well, the Bible talks about church in really two broad ways, right? First is what we call sort of the universal church. This is God's people across the whole world, across all of time, right? This is the universal church. Every believer is part of the universal church, right? If you trust in Jesus, you are a member of God's universal church. Amen. But the Bible also talks about church in a local context, right? We talk about the local church. And really, the biggest distinction is the local church is the physical, visible, tangible expression of the universal church, right? The local church is defined in part by its people, the physical gathering together of God's people. And so here is really where we see the Bible has a lot to say. It's not just people getting together, right? It's not just, okay, are you all hanging out? You're all kind of Christians. All right, you're a church. No, that's not how it works, right? Actually, the Bible gives more structure to what that looks like. It is the people of God who are gathered together for a purpose, right? Acts 2 talks about, you know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? We gather to hear the word preached and proclaimed. That's part of what makes us a church, right? If you don't have the preaching of the gospel, you do not have a church, okay? There are lots of gatherings, even Christian gatherings, that don't preach the gospel, right? Those aren't churches. Right? Even more so, we're called to worship together. Ephesians 5 calls to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Worship is part of what we do together as the church. We're called to use our spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, each person has been given a spiritual gift for the common good to build up the church. Right? And this is where we talk about all the one another's of the Bible, right? The Bible has a lot of commands about what we are to do for one another, right? We are to love one another, encourage one another, meet with one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, right? Hold one another accountable, right? There's example after example after example. All of those happen in the context of the local church. Maybe not exclusively, but primarily. Right? The Bible knows no isolated believers. And finally, a church is organized under biblical leadership, elders, deacons, right? Practicing spiritual, church discipline, right? All these things. It's part of what makes a church. And so as we talk through that, we kind of have to realize something. Biblically, we are a church. We've been doing everything that a church is to do, sitting under the word, encouraging one another, living out the commands of Scripture, even baptism, the Lord's Supper. We're doing these things together. In many ways, we are a church. We just haven't talked about it in that framework. We haven't talked about really, and I'm going to argue, what God has been building here. Right? We didn't necessarily set out with this clear distinction goal in mind, and yet scripturally, this is exactly what God has been doing. Right? Many of you have told me, you know, this place feels like home. This feels like church to me. And even some of you have said, you know, when I think about going to the Chilliwack campus, it just feels strange now. Even many of you who've spent years and years there, you know, you say, hey, but this feels like home now. I think that's right. I think it's because God's been actually building us together as a church, right? And even for some of you who've more recently come from Chilliwack, you've recognized the difference. Yeah, oh, it's different here. It's not just the same. God's been building us together. I mean, some of you even know this. Some of you don't. I've actually sent people away from here. Okay. When we first started, we had a couple of volunteers and they said, you know, we want to stay connected in Chilliwack, but we'd love to come and serve up in Promontory. And so we said, okay, sounds great. You know, that's a blessing to us as we get started. Thank you very much. But you know what ended up happening is that they never fully got connected here and they actually began to lose connection at Chilliwack. They actually ended up in no man's land. And so every once in a while, there's someone who's come up here and said, you know, can I do that? And my answer is no. It's actually not good for you. And actually, I think it fails to recognize what God's doing here. God's building us together as this church. Bouncing back and forth actually really doesn't work. In the same way that bouncing back and forth between different churches doesn't work. The church is the people of God. Right? If COVID taught us anything, it is that the physical gathering with others is significant. Actually, it matters who you're with. It matters in the context of the local church. And so part of the impetus, the scriptural, why are we doing this? We're recognizing what God has been doing. But also, I'm going to argue it's also in keeping with the pattern that God has lined out. Right? In many ways, campus is a poor word for what God has built. Our desire is to follow God's design. And in fact, when you go through the book of Acts, right, Paul, he's traveling around from city to city, just, you know, going in, preaching the gospel as much as he can until finally they're done with him and he gets kicked out and he goes to the next town and on and on and on, right? Acts 14, he does this a number of times until finally they really try and kill him and he kind of has to do a double back, right? He goes back through all the places that he's been. Acts 14, 23, this is what it says. It says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, this is Paul and Barnabas, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. In one sense, we see a pattern here. Planting churches, right? He establishes elders in them and then commits them to the Lord, right? Paul doesn't say, now I'm going to be, you know, in charge of all of you. No, actually, he says, you guys are a church. You believers, right? These are believers who are like months old at this point at most. And he's saying, you guys are the church, right? Function together as a church. And so, I mean, this is God's pattern, planting churches. And I don't think that it needs to be, you know, we have to say, oh my goodness, you know, what we've been doing now is all wrong. No, I think God's actually given us a lot of stability through this process. And actually, as we're looking at it, actually more and more, we're just seeing God's pattern play out in our church. The campus model has given us an incredible amount of stability in this process. I think by God's design, here we're at a point where we can say, actually, this is a biblical step to take, right? I think actually if Central said, no, it's our desire, we're just going to hold on to campuses for all time. And you know, there's going to be a few people at the top and they're just going to rule over all of this. I think that would actually be a slightly unbiblical way of doing church. It's not Central's goal or vision. Actually, I think this allows us, right? Churches have been planted for 2,000 years. This is new to us, but it's certainly not new to God. This is the only reason why any of us have heard the gospel is because churches planted churches. And really, it's the same step we're wanting to take. And so really, the biblical impetus is one thing. It's recognizing what God has been doing among us, building us as a church, and stepping forward in the biblical pattern God has laid out. All right, that's the scriptural pattern. We're following God's pattern. All right? But I think there's also some very practical reasons for us as well. All right? We can talk about here two, and I'm going to kind of, I want to clarify some misconceptions. All right? Because there are some misconceptions about what we're doing. Misconception number one. We exist, Promontory, we exist to be the small church alternative to Big Central. That is not why we exist. We are not Chilliwack's overflow. If that's what we're doing, then yeah, let's put up a video screen, just have a bunch of chairs, and it doesn't matter. That's not why we exist. We do not exist to cater to how some people might want church to feel. That's not why we exist. Now hear me, if you like a small church, that's great. That's not a problem. But we don't exist to be a small church. We exist because we want to see people come to know Jesus and to know him, love him, and share his gospel in this place. That's why we exist. It's not to cater to some sort of convenience. It's not an overflow. And actually, I think part of this step, the practical reality is this helps us understand that. Actually, God has called us to a mission here. He has something for us to be doing. It's not accidental that we're here. We are not overflow. God has a purpose for what he's doing in this place. All right? I think stepping out clarifies why we exist. But secondly, I think stepping out also actually begins to help us take on responsibility. Misconception number two. This one might sound even correct. Promontory is here because it was Central's vision. Now that's true in one sense. That's how we got here. But that's not why we're still here. No. We are not here because God gave someone else a call. Someone back there in Chilliwack, wherever Chilliwack is, right? That's not why we exist. We're not here because God has called other people to do a work, and we're just kind of the end result of that. And oh, okay, great. You know, we exist here because God had a calling on other people's life. No, this is what God's called us to do. And actually, we are called to take on the responsibility for God's mission. And so practically, you know, why are we taking this step in autonomy? I think it clarifies why we exist. And it also says, actually, we care about this mission and we want to take on the responsibility for what God has called us to do. We cannot be waiting for someone else to do this work. This is not someone else's mission, it's ours. I think we're actually capable of doing that. Right. One way, one of the analogies I've used a number of times here is just think about it like this. When you have a kid, right? For those of you who have kids, they grow up in your house. And when they're young, you're doing everything for them, right? Everything. When they're babies, you have to do literally everything for them. They can't even burp themselves. They start growing up. And suddenly they can start doing more and more things. They start getting older. And actually what you're going to do is start saying, actually, you need to now take on responsibility for this stuff. And as your kids grow, you're handing them more and more responsibility. Because why? You're hoping, your goal in that is that they can actually take it on themselves. So that when they move out, they're actually equipped and capable to take on the responsibility that God has for their life. In many ways, I think that's what we're called to do. God's been equipping, training us up on the just stability with Central. Praise God. But there comes a time where we have to step out and say, it's our responsibility to do this. Right? My goal here is as we take on that responsibility, actually it leads us to greater maturity. Right? If for those of you who've, you know, left home, you know that first year was tough, wasn't it? You had a lot to learn. And yet you grew a lot in it, didn't you? You matured to the point where actually now I can provide for others. And actually I can bless others and multiply others. Should we not have that same dream for our church? Let us not dream too small. Why should we not say, all right, God, as we take this step into maturity, Lord, would you work in us so that one day we can be planting churches? Why shouldn't we think about, hey, maybe God will call us to plant churches in Yarrow or the Eastern Hillside. Maybe God is calling us into something incredible in the future. That's not too big for God. Let us not be afraid to take on what God has called us to do. I think actually this gives us an incredible impetus to follow what God is calling us to do. All right? Take on. Now, why should we do this? Number one, it follows the pattern of Scripture. Number two, it takes on the responsibility for the mission God has placed in our hands. All right? So there's the why. I think they're good reasons. I think it's worthy of our consideration and our effort to take this on. All right? All right. Now, I was going to give you a little break, but I don't have enough time. So let me answer some questions, all right? I'm going to change gears here a little bit, all right? We'll do a little bit of Q&A. Many of you have sent me in questions, have asked me questions, and so I'm trying to kind of put these together, all right? I may not answer every person's specific question. If you would like me to, please, that invitation to ask questions is still very much open, all right? You can send me emails, talk to me. We can continue to discuss this. If you have more specifics, I may even in the future kind of put together a Q&A document that you guys can reference and maybe add to over time. So this is not the end of the discussion, okay? This is not the end of the discussion. This was always intended to be the beginning of the discussion as we continue down this road, as we continue to seek God's will, all right? So let me answer a few of the questions that have already come up, and then we'll spend some time in prayer together, all right? First question, biggest question. Every person, I think, has asked me this one. What about youth, all right? That is the number one question that has pretty much come up every single time. What are we going to do with youth? And honestly, good. I'm glad you're asking that. That's a good question. All right. Currently, right now, our youth go down to Chilliwack, right? And we join together with the youth group there. Now, I am going to say right now, At no point, not now, not later, am I ever going to stop anyone from ever going there. I think what is happening down at the youth group is phenomenal, right? God has been using it. Amen. It's awesome. Okay. I love it. I am not against it in any way whatsoever. Right. Growing up, I think I went to probably like two or three different youth groups because that's just what I did. All right. Now, that being said, here is what I feel very, very much called to. We just talked about we want to take on responsibility for the mission that God has given us. I think that it means youth. If we do not have a place for youth in our church, I think we have a massive problem. I think we are actually abdicating the responsibility that God has given to us. This is not something that we can just go forward and say, look, there's a great youth group down the road, just go there. That's not going to work. In fact, if I'm really honest, it has functioned for us for a time. I'm not sure it has ever thrived. It's hard to go to another place and try and make connections. It's hard enough to be just a teenager than to be thrust into a bunch of kids you don't know and say, hey, go make some real genuine connections. That's a hard thing to do. What are we saying to our youth when we say, well, there's no place for you here? There must be. Okay? Here's the other thing. Here's the reality that we will face. Right now, we have something like 40 kids in our kidsmen on an average Sunday. They're growing up. This is not something that we can just say, oh, it doesn't really matter because we don't have a huge amount of teenagers. We will. They keep getting older and we keep having more kids, right? So praise God. But this means we have to take on this responsibility. This has to be our call to see this go forward. And by the way, not only do I think that's a good thing for us, not only do I think that will actually help us mature as a church to begin to take on these ministries, actually, I think it would even open doors in our community. How many youth, how many teenagers are bored up here in Promontory? A lot. That's why things keep getting damaged. They're bored. Hey, maybe we have an opportunity to actually reach out further into this community by taking on the responsibility that God has given to us. All right? I'll never stop anyone from saying, hey, I want to go down to what they're doing down there. That's awesome. We're never going to compete with that. Certainly not now. Right? Probably youth is going to look more like, hey, we're going to hang out in some of the leaders' homes. Maybe we're going ice skating. Maybe we're going swimming. Maybe we're going bowling. Whatever it is, we're gathering together to actually disciple our youth. I think that needs to be our priority as we take this step. Okay? So that's not a full answer. There's lots of questions in there, but it has to happen. All right? Okay. That was the big one. One of the big ones. All right. Number two. Question. What about budget? Do we actually have enough to do this? That's a very good practical question. The answer in short is yeah. Actually, right? If you looked at the slide this morning, you will have seen as of September, we were $55,000 over our expenses. Praise God. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your willingness to lean into this. That's why we can have these kinds of conversations. Praise God, right? Pastor Ron and I, we've been working through the budget for this, looking at it. It does look like this will be very feasible, even as we take on new responsibilities. You're going to hear more about that in the future. All right. That's the short answer. Okay. We'll have probably 9 months next year, at least, to kind of already be practicing through that budget, and we'll have a good idea of where we're at. Okay. What about volunteers? This is probably one of the other big ones that I've gotten. What do we do about all of our volunteers? Are we going to be asking a whole bunch more? Are we just going to be like, all right, you guys got to step up and do a whole bunch more? My answer is no, actually. So if you serve on Welcome today and you serve on Welcome in a year from today, I'm not asking you to do anything more. On worship, on kids. We're not asking you to suddenly start creating your own curriculum or anything like that. I'm not looking to say we want to add on a whole bunch more to what you're doing. I know how much you serve. I know how incredible your work is. I'm not looking to say, oh, we need to pile on a bunch more. Okay? That's not what I'm trying to do. Now, with that, there are going to be new opportunities that come in. My goal with that is not to ask the same people to now do new things, but rather to open it up and say, hey, there are new opportunities we've never had before. We've never had these opportunities. And actually, guess what? That means new people can serve in their giftings. Okay? I'm going to use Steve as an example because he let me do this. All right? Okay? Most of you know Steve helps with our pro presenter. Okay? Does an amazing job. However, Steve is also an incredibly talented programmer, website designer, and et cetera. And so I sat down with Steve and I said, hey, what do you know about website design? And he began to teach me a lot. He began to give me a lot of detail I was not ready for in terms of breakdowns, price breakdowns. I don't know how you knew that off the top of your head, but you did. Praise God. And then he said, before I even asked him, could I help? Could I help do this? Yeah, praise God. Actually, there's going to be new opportunities that haven't existed here before that some of you get to use your giftings in new ways. I'm actually really excited about that. My goal is not to say, hey, let's pile more on, but rather let's engage people in new ways. All right? And so my goal is not to say in this, okay, we have to add more. All right, now, there is a question that leaves there, which is the next thing, and that is, what about staff? All right, now, this is where things are going to have to change, okay? These are the positions that are going to have the biggest shift as we take this step. Just so you are aware, so we have two directors, Lois and Patricia, and their job, what we have asked them to do in worship and in kids, is to essentially take what is created at Central and then just bring it here. Right? Facilitate it coming here. All right? That role is going to expand, right? That's the reality of this. It's going to expand into new ways. And actually, I think that's good, right? Again, I'm going to use someone. Well, maybe I shouldn't, actually. I didn't ask this person. I'm not going to use that person because I didn't ask them about this, so I'm not going to. But what I think this actually gives us in terms of an advantage, actually, it means we can really specifically think about, hey, what is going to work best here? How are we going to be able to serve our people? How can we craft things to the best of our abilities to actually reach the people God's called us here? I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a really good thing. And so those staff positions are the ones that are going to change the most, all right? And probably it means particularly admin will expand. Yeah, that one's going to need to go up, all right? That's just part of it. And that's even, again, just so you know, that's part of our budget already, is that that role expands in those hours, in those things. Like I said, we're going to talk more about, you know, actual hiring decisions probably in the spring, but there may be changes there as well, all right? Many of you know. Patricia is pregnant. Praise God. Woo! She might need some time away. All right. So yeah, things are going to change, right? Even Lois's role. She works actually more with youth than with Promontory. Some of you might not know that. All right. And as much as I'm praying that she stays, she might choose elsewhere as God leads. And so that's going to be part of that decision as we look into the spring. Okay. All right. So those are the ones that are probably most going to change. Next question. What happens if the school kicks us out? Heard this in a couple different ways, variants. My answer is the same thing that will happen if we're still part of Central. We get kicked out. All right. Obviously, that's not what we're praying for. Praise God. We've actually had a very good relationship with this school. And that's also, hear me, part of our evangelism works as a defense for us. It's a weird way to think about it, but actually the more we bless our community, the more we matter, actually the harder it is for them to say, yeah, get out. All right? Now, is it a possibility? Sure, it's a possibility now, but the future is in God's hands. Let's trust him with that. All right? So, next question. What happens if we need two services? I pray this question comes. That'd be great. All right. If we get to two services, again, it's the same as if we're still part of Central. All right. Just so you know, right now, we're probably in the 160-70 range. Probably two services is in the 200-250 range. We're not that far away. Especially if you consider 3 years ago, we were at the 50 people range. All right. God's been growing this place. Praise God. But then my prayer is as the need or as the demand grows, as two services would be in the question, God's provision also grows. All right. And so that's, I'm excited for that. Man, I pray that happens. That'll be great. Okay. Next question. Do we have a name? No. That's the quick answer. We're not going to be called Radical Life Hillside Adventure Church. That is not on the table. Okay? I think Tyler put forward the John Neufeld Memorial Church. Oh no. I mean, I think he's going to kill me. No, we don't have a name. We're not going to name it something ridiculous. Okay? No. All right, next question. I'm actually a little embarrassed. A number of you have asked me this. What about me? Am I going to be okay with this transition? I'm honored. I'm pretty humbled that you, and I feel embarrassed to answer it. My short answer is, yeah, I think I'm going to be okay. my role will change. Just reality is it'll stretch, and it will stretch me. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm actually very much looking forward to that. And in many ways, again, this isn't a church split where we're angry at Central. If we get into something, I'm going to call Ron. I'm just going to say, hey, Ron, can we get a copy? Right? I sit down with pastors from other churches all the time. It's not that unusual. Right? Even as I get to work with the elders more in this transition, that's a huge support for me. I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you for your concern. I feel embarrassed to have to address it, but thank you. But actually, I'm really excited about what God's going to do here. All right? Last question, because we are well out of time. Last question. I'm going to put this into the broader category of what if something bad happens? So it's been phrased in a couple different ways. What if a bunch of volunteers are gone? What if a bunch of people leave? What if the budget doesn't work out? What if there's a lot of what ifs? And here's how I'm going to answer that. Now, look, this is a process of discernment. That's what this next whole transition season is. That's what we want to discern. Are we in a place where we can do that? We don't want to take that flippantly. We want to actually think about these things, okay? So yes, we want to be wise. But here's the thing. I've actually never been in a church that has enough volunteers, that has everything all the way covered. Right? If that was the benchmark for becoming a church, by the way, Central's not a church. Chilliwack campus doesn't have all the volunteers that they need. They're still asking for people in Kidsmen and Welcome and all these different things. That can't be our benchmark. If we're waiting to take a step until everything is 100% filled, we will never get there. And I think that's actually by God's design. Again, I grew up at Willingdon Church. That's where I was a teenager. It was a church of 5,000 people. They didn't have enough volunteers. It doesn't matter how big a church or small a church. The call is, are we going to be faithful to what God's called us to do? I think God doesn't always give us everything we could possibly ever need because he wants us to rely on him. This is a step of faith. What we are doing will be a step out in faith, trusting that God is going to supply our needs. That's exactly what we should do. Right? We are not sitting and saying, all right, God, we're only going to take steps when everything is ready. We'll never move. Okay? Our call is to say, God, where are you leading us? And we trust you with all of the what ifs we cannot deal with. Right? When Jesus sends out his church, Matthew 28, says, go make disciples of all nations, gives them this incredible mission, right? See the whole world transformed. And then he ends it with this. I am with you always to the end of the age. All right, this morning we talked about this. We step out in faith because God is with us. Right? It is God's presence with us. The presence of Jesus is the basis for the call to go. We will never be at a point where every single thing is perfectly tied together, I think, by God's design and for His glory. I don't ever want to be at a place where we don't have to rely on God. If that's what our church looks like, we actually have a big problem. All right? And so here is my greatest fear in this transition. My greatest fear in this transition is that we would go where God is not leading. Okay? I am committed to saying, God, you have to lead in this place. All right? I want to end tonight by just praying together. I think for time's sake, we're going to break into groups, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray for this. I want you to pray for unity of our church as we take these steps. I want to pray for wisdom that we'd be able to discern this well. Pray that God would give us favor here. Pray that God would open new doors in our community. Pray for even practical things like, hey, can we have a ministry location? Can we have storage? All these kinds of things that come into this. But our goal is to spend time in prayer. And so actually starting in January, what we're going to do, we're going to have prayer nights every month. Once a month, we're just going to spend time in prayer, right? I didn't expect that. Amen. But that's our goal. God has to lead in this place. This can't be our idea. This has to be God's leading, and that is our commitment. We want to go where God will lead us, all right? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Just for a few minutes as we close here, would you just gather with the people around you? Would you just spend a few minutes in prayer? Just pray that God would be at work here, right? That God would give us wisdom as we continue on this process, and then I'll close us here in prayer, all right? Take a few minutes, turn to the people next to you, spend some time in prayer.
We're just going to spend some time in prayer, but before we do that, just want to just share a word with you if I could. About 18 years ago, I joined the central staff, came from Willingdon, a church of 5,000, to the Chilliwack Valley, Fraser Valley, to a church of about 225 people. And it was a church that I wasn't quite sure what God was doing with it, but really wanted to be faithful to the call God had on it. And over that time, I've watched as Central has grown to a church of 5 campuses. And the way we did that was by being obedient to God's call. And the way we did that was by spending time together talking, and by spending time together in prayer, and then by stepping out in faith. And so my encouragement to you is to listen to the voice of the Spirit and do whatever the Spirit tells you to do. If you do that, you'll discover that God has been there all along and that He will provide for the practical stuff, which changes all the time and there's never enough, because that's how God wants us to be, dependent on Him. And you'll discover that He has a plan to reach this part of Chilliwack for His glory and for our good. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to say thank you for what you're doing in and through Central, but in particular, what you're doing up here in the Hill Promontory. And as they discern and plan and listen for your voice, I pray you would speak loudly, because sometimes we can be hard to hear. I pray, Lord, for a spirit of unity. And Lord, that as we sense what you're calling Promontory to, that you would also find that we're ready to step out in faith and to follow your lead. And then, Lord, to discover that you've been in this all along. And so, Jesus, we long to be faithful. We long for people to encounter you. And so to that end, would you lead us? Would you speak to us? And then, Lord, would you provide all that we need for the journey of faith? And we pray it in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. All right. Thank you, everyone, for being here, for taking time, even just to pray. And let me encourage you, please continue to pray. This is not a one-time discussion. This is not a one-time prayer. This is what we want God to be praying and leading us in over the next year. So please be doing that. Again, I'll just say that invitation is open. If there's more questions, we can put together some Q&As and actually be able to answer some more as we go into this. But yeah, we'll sorry, I gotta stop talking. We're gonna be done for tonight. Thank you all for coming. Can I just ask, would you grab some chairs, put them on the stacks, and if you're able to help with some of the tables and things and clean up, that would be amazing. Thank you so much.